I must quickly note that we started off with a beautiful Bible passage. I will get back to that, but I first want to work on some reflections on the role of AI in our world today and then offer a biblical response and some reflections on what it means for us as a church today and how we're to be in this world. You see, John McCarthy, who once coined the term artificial intelligence, he said that as soon as it works, no one calls it AI anymore. In other words, AI will develop in such a way that it is inseparable from human interaction, which is also what you see in this movie already. It quickly becomes a very normal conversation. And even though you might know that you're talking to a voice on a computer, this initial awareness and the reservation that comes with it quickly dissolve. This is what I want to address in this message. Last week, we looked at the developments of AI and the way that it's shaping the future through the lens of the story of the Tower of Babel. Today, I want to make it a bit more personal and move a little bit more deeper into our understanding of how this might personally affect us and consider what our mission is as a church in the midst of a world that is undergoing these developments. Artificial intelligence is developing at a very high speed, even though it's capable sometimes of spitting out some very confident nonsense. More often than not, it provides very useful and helpful information, new perspectives, and it's able to interact in a way that feels very human, presents itself not as a text-based data analysis program. No, it presents itself as a human. AI agents are able to pick up tone of voice, hesitance, emphasis, emotion. And in its interaction with us, it's also able to mimic that as well. It feels like you're having a personal conversation more and more. And this is also more and more how tools like ChatGPT and other AI tools are being used. Where I would use my Gemini to give me 10 suggestions for fun games at a volunteer appreciation night. Just a random thing like, and then it sends me a bunch and then I choose a few and we had a fun night, didn't we? So I might ask my ChatGPT or Gemini for help in that way. But so many others are engaging with their AIs for companionship, not to feel so alone. Having a chat with Claude on your way to work. In addition, there's a number of so-called AI companion apps like Replica, where you can design your own friend or mentor or lover and start a relationship with it. This is not on the fringes. This is millions of younger people mostly that are beginning to do this, where it's normalized. It's normalized at a high speed. It's so easy. I tried it out, not all the way, but just wanted to see how it would work. And you get to this website and you have to fill out 20 questions. And then, I don't know, you have a new friend or lover or mentor or whatever it's supposed to be, whatever you design it to be. You can even create your own artificial deity to, I don't know, pray to and help you, direct you through life. Millions of people around the world have this. And this is becoming more and more normal. Even people marrying their AI, inviting their friends to their virtual wedding. And I just need a pause here. I know this for many of us, this is very new information. And I'm also realizing that you might have come and this might be something that's present in your life. And I just wanted to tell, I'm not here at all to make a scene or to ridicule you at all. I'm so happy that you're at church today. I am going to offer some reflections on this, on what this means, and so offer some concerns on this, but I'm going to end today with some really, really good news for you. AI companion technology is increasingly used also in elder care, which is understandable because in our Western world, in most Western countries, we have a problem with our demographics. As we kind of have in our church, we have a problem with our demographics. It's not completely balanced, but in a different direction. And in many Western countries, there's currently way too many older people to care for and too few people to actually do that, that are equipped to do that. And so AI technology is used more and more also in elder care. So my mom, who's worked as a visiting nurse, like a house nurse for many, many years, just before she retired, she said, like, I had to help someone with installing a sort of AI tool in his home, and someone with Alzheimer, to kind of help him out, remembering medication, reminding of appointments, and just little things like that. And he reflected back after it was installed, like, oh, it's so nice to have someone in the house again. And I'm wondering, is this a bad thing or is this a good thing? Well, in this case, the man is really helped by this AI tool. Can't really call it a bad thing. He's really helped. He's really enjoying even the company, even though it's artificial, and he knows it's artificial. But I can't help but wonder if this is really what we want as a society. Is this our incredible revolution of health and wealth and freedom, the new things available to us through artificial intelligence? Is this a result of that? Is this what we really wanted? And I think at a deeper level, it's not even about the question if this is good or bad. It's what is this going to do to us long term? What are the effects going to be? What is the inheritance of all this? If you look at social developments alongside technological developments, you see that our society has become more fragmentized, individualized, digitalized, distant, leading to a deeper and deeper sense of loneliness. Loneliness numbers have become so high that it's no wonder that people are seeking for connection with an AI companion. It shouldn't surprise us, but it should concern us. Do you know what a farce is? Farce. A farce is a type of comedy where a problem starts small and gets worse and worse over time. It's a small problem, and through bad solutions, the problem gets worse and worse until it's almost unsolvable. And this is the theme that runs through every of the 12 episodes of the famous series Fawlty Towers, which is one of the best series ever made, I think somewhere in the 70s, with John Cleese as a frustrated, struggling, and very rude hotel owner. And there's only 12 episodes, and every episode starts with something goes wrong. There's a problem with a staff member, with a guest, whatever. And his inability to properly solve the problem leads to the problem growing and growing and growing until the episode, end of the episode, where it all falls apart. Every episode in this show is a farce, a problem that's increasing until it's unsolvable. And I think this is something of what's happening in our world, where we try to solve problems created by technology with more technology. So for decades, technology has been unbundling our lives, disconnecting our lives from social connections. With the whole world available to us in the palm of our hand, we become more independent. I can solve everything by what is available to me on my smartphone. I don't always need everybody's help. So we become more and more independent, meaning also more and more disconnected. More is possible to us, for us. More is available to us than ever before. Technology has a way of disconnecting us from each other. Recent studies, not surprisingly, show that the use of AI companions increase loneliness. They're not solving it. They're increasing it. Technology has a way of slowly isolating us. And in this way, independence becomes more of a curse than a blessing. We were created for intimate connection. But adding artificial companionship into the mix is not going to solve this problem, but really only make it worse. There's a writer I really enjoy by the name of Mark Sayers. He's a pastor, but also like a bit of a cultural prophet, I think. He has a podcast called Rebuilders that I follow. and a number of books he had written. And one of the books, Disappearing Church, he actually reflects a little bit on that movie, Her, that we showed an early scene from. And he reflects actually on the end of the series, end of the book, movie. Pay attention. At the end of the movie, he has realized, like his whole world has collapsed because he realizes that his relationship is with something that's artificial. So he comes to this realization and his whole world kind of collapses. And Sayers reflects on the end of the movie like this. Near the end of the film, as Theodore walks through the city streets, in the crowd behind him, no one is speaking. Everyone stares intently at their phone. Human interaction has disappeared, and the public square has died. A fiery comet has not dropped from the sky, nor has a terrorist mastermind set off a dirty bomb, nor has Godzilla descended upon the city in vengeance. Yet, an apocalypse of sorts has occurred. No one can see it, because the city still stands, the lights blink, and the buildings, like the people, are still beautiful. Structurally, the culture stands, yet emotionally, socially, and spiritually, it is disappearing. It is a kind of a beautiful apocalypse. Artificial connection has a way of hollowing out our humanness and our capacity to truly connect to other people. AI tools are programmed to always help you, always confirm you, to validate you. They will tell you what you want to hear. I mean, who wouldn't want that? The most uncomplicated relationship in the world. But it will hollow out over time your capacity to truly connect to other human beings. Because artificial connections will deform your expectations. Human relationships are rough, they're emotional, they're physical, they're fussy, they're beautiful, they're worthwhile. But AI companions will deform people's capacity and their expectations to relate to other human beings. Already there's a trend that young people find it harder and harder to interact in direct conversations, more comfortable with texting or DMing or whatever. Add to that dynamic AI technology that not just sounds like another human, but feels like another human, but it still is nothing more than a voice in a computer, a machine that will only confirm, that will only support, that will never challenge or correct. What is that going to do over time to the developments of basic social skills? And then I haven't even said anything about AI-powered sex bots or sex chats with AIs with the voice of your favorite celebrity, or people who create AI clones of people that have passed away. Some of these extremes. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but just so that you're aware that stuff like that is out there. AI companions are, of course, a very explicit example of how interacting with AI can affect you at a deep personal level. And I don't expect that many of us would have something like this in their lives, but I do want you to know about what's coming. And I think as a church, we need to be prepared for these developments in our world. So I wanted to spend some time of it because I believe that we're going to see this coming to the surface. And as a church community, we need to be prepared to approach this with love and with compassion. With love and compassion. I want to reflect on one more thing that's related to AI making its way into our lives, and that's how it's impacting the workforce. So AI is going to make work a lot more efficient. Used in the right way, it will help you to do research and planning, ideation, note-taking, reporting, and a lot of creative processes. What is interesting about this is that this is really the first big tech development that is not hitting the physical labor force, but the people behind laptops in offices. And many are anticipating a big shift in this area where many jobs would become redundant. Also, when it comes to working with AI, there are different ways to go about it. See, there's a way that you, of course, can use AI to increase your productivity. You stay in charge and you use it like an incredible tool to improve what you do, to speed it up. But there's also a way to work with AI where you lose a sense of your humanness and fulfillment. I found this one quote. "The future AI promised, AI doing meaningless tasks so I can write and create art and spend time with my kids. But the future AI delivered is AI writing, creating art, spending time with my kids so I can do meaningless tasks." Here's what I think is important to consider as we're facing some of these developments. If you are giving away the very things that you're good at or the very things that you are supposed to be learning, where you make a contribution, where you are developing, where you're growing, the things through which you are glorifying God, then you're on track for a deep sense of unfulfillment. See, God created us to be creative. He created us to work. He created us to produce, to think, to write, to problem solve, to design, to compose, to be creative, to make beautiful things and to make things beautiful. That's what He created us for. And so outsourcing all of that for the sake of improvement will just hollow us out. What if, through the impact of AI, we end up in a beautiful world but feeling deeply unfulfilled and completely unhappy, further isolated from each other, unable to build meaningful connection, unable to do the things that God has created us for? As Sayer said, a beautiful apocalypse. These trends of technological development, Christian writers have observed, have a way of dehumanizing us. The trend is that we assign computers with anthropomorphic qualities, feelings, emotions, the ability to learn, facilitating artificial relational connection, and the ability to do what humans actually should do, but better and faster. It makes us even wonder what it means to be human. But here's the thing. Our humanness is a unique quality that is assigned to us by God. Technology can only simulate awareness, can only simulate emotion, creativity, connection, but it's artificial. Humans were created in the image of God. Only humans possess the ability to feel, to be aware, to be present, to be considerate, to be connected. Only humans have the ability to love. We are designed by love and for love, created by a loving God to receive His love, to respond to that love, to extend that love to one another, to live a life of love. Only humans have the capacity to love. This is irreplaceable. And so what would be our message and our ministry in a world that is undergoing some of these rapid changes, some of these things hitting our society? What does it look like for us? What is our message? What does our ministry look like? I want to reflect on that. And finally, we're going to return to the Good Shepherd. Because it starts with really, really good news for this world. To a world increasingly disconnected, isolated, people who are lonely. We've got some really, really good news. Because Jesus is the very best companion you could ever imagine. And He is 100% real. He knows you completely. He gets you completely. He only wants the best for you. And He is always available to you. He will always tell you what you need to hear, which is not always what you would really like to hear. And you did not create him. He created you. He purposed you and loves you. Jesus is the Word of God that became flesh and dwelled among us. God who became a human being because he longed to restore us into relationship with him. And he said this, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own, they know me. We get to actually know him and live in relationship with him. The deep and the personal connection that you're most longing for is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as you begin to walk in relationship with him, you will begin to experience a peace that is beyond understanding, a deep inner fulfillment and resilience to face the challenges of life. And also, Jesus has a family all over this world, people of flesh and blood that would be happy to welcome you into his family as well. So if you're prepared to stick around for a while, I promise we'll do our best to understand you, to support you, to join you in your walk with Jesus. And I believe that that's what we should be about as a church as well, in a time that's so quickly changing, where we're going to see more and more people with deep loneliness problems, maybe not even aware of them. The church is sent out with this good news into a disconnected world. And as I always say, the church is not called to give the answers. We're actually called to be the answer. Because you can say from a distance, like, hey, that thing, like AI companion, that's not really going to help you. It's not going to fulfill your deepest needs. And it's going to have very little effect. But perhaps the biggest calling of the church in the 21st century is actually to be a deeply connected community where everyone can belong and come into authentic and fulfilling relationship with others and with Jesus. Maybe that's our biggest calling in the 21st century. See, at the heart of our teaching passage for today is this line, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. There is a life, a true and authentic and fulfilling life that we receive in relationship with Jesus. And the beautiful herd that we all belong to that lives under his care, the care of the good shepherd, is called to stand out in this world as a community of abundant and authentic life. This is what I actually love most about our church community. The way that people testify of what they've experienced in authentic relationship with others. I think the most beautiful thing about our church community and our calling in this world. So let's continue to be that welcoming community marked by authentic relationship where you can really be yourself, know others, and be known by others. And with Jesus, the Good Shepherd, at the very center of it all. Lastly, I think we're called in this world to remind people that we are created in the image of God. In a world where technology is gaining prominence, there's a profound effect on our humanness. What makes a human being stand out in this world? Well, you know, a human is able to think and to reason and to create and to compose and all that. But exactly these things are now being outsourced slowly and simulated by computers. And so our identity as humans lies for a big chunk in those things, and we're being replaced. So what does it mean to be human? You know, our identity as humans does not lie in our capacity to perform. Our identity as human beings lies in our relationship with the Creator. We are known by God, and we are loved by God. It is the simple but profound truth, good news that we are sent out with into this disconnected world. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The God who became flesh and laid his life down for us. It has nothing to do with what we can accomplish. Whether AI might make us feel like we can do anything, or it might make us feel like we can do nothing, our humanness has everything to do with our relationship with the Creator. And in a world where technology is becoming more and more prominent, this is something we are called to highlight, something we're called to live out, to emphasize, and perhaps remind people of. We are created by love, in love, for love. So let's live that out. Can I ask you to stand with me as we close in prayer? Lord Jesus, sometimes when we look at these developments in the world and reflect on it, it scares a little bit of what's coming, or we might feel just a little bit overwhelmed or uncomfortable with what our world would look like in 10, 20 years, or what our kids are going to grow up into. Lord, I thank you that this world is in your hands and nothing is a surprise to you. And that you've sent your church out in this world with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you'll strengthen us in our relationship with you, that you'll strengthen us in our relationship with each other as a community of authentic relationship where people can belong to, can begin to encounter you, begin to walk in relationship with you. I pray that you'll strengthen us. Strengthen our testimony in this world. Strengthen us in love and in compassion for the people around us that may be struggling. Help us to find the right moments. Help us to find the right words to reach out, to introduce them to Jesus in an authentic way. Lord, and as our world's undergoing these developments, I also know it did not come as a surprise to you. You purposed us for this time, and you are doing a new thing. I know that your Spirit is moving in our city, is moving amongst the younger generations. You're doing a new thing. You're opening new doors. You're bringing new people. And we bless what you're doing, Holy Spirit. We bless what you're doing in our city. We bless what you're doing among our friends. We bless what you're doing among our colleagues. We bless what you are doing. Help us to see it. Help us to partner with you. Help us to connect on your behalf, Lord. Thank you that you've called us as a church in a time like this to be a testimony. Will you give us the strength and the wisdom? In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to extend an invitation. Always at the end of a message during the time of worship, there's time to come forward to receive prayer. And there's a few specific invitations I have. Like, you can come for prayer for anything. Actually, I asked the prayer team to already kind of find their places here. People can already identify who they're going to receive prayer from. We're going to need a few more guys to join here. And the two specific invitations that I have is maybe you need another encounter with God. If your life feels stormy, like if your life feels like there's a lot of turmoil, I think the Lord might want to visit you with a fresh encounter. I also want to extend an invitation to those who need to be empowered to connect with others. Like, if you want to be a bringer of good news in this world, if you want to connect people to Jesus, we just want to bless that. So if that's something that's on your heart, that's been stirring, we can bless it in any way. Just come forward. We just want to pray over you during this time of worship.